Blog Talk Radio.
Has your heart's deep longing been denied? Though you walk with Jesus at your side, look beyond the sunset to the home he doth prepare, for heaven holds the answer to your prayer.
Amen, amen. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was Del Delker, and she was singing, You Will Find the Answers to Your Prayer. And I hope you were at the prayer meeting last night. I hope you joined us. We come together every Tuesday to get some instruction on the Word of God for a half hour. We are taught by Sister Linda Hart, and she does an amazing job of just sharing with us with thus saith the Lord, that pertains to prayer. The subject taught is always on prayer because it's a Tuesday night prayer meeting. After a half hour of wonderful instruction, we move right into an hour of praying. So let me encourage you to join us every Tuesday night. It's a conference call prayer meeting. And if you need more information, just email me, and we'll set up a time where we can talk on the phone, and I'll explain it to you, and you will be blessed. You will be wonderfully blessed if you join us for the prayer meeting. Well, we're in Exodus chapter 23. We're looking at verses 25 and 26. I'll be reading from the King James Bible. And it reads like this, And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. The title of this series is Serve God, and He Will Add and Take Away. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for enlisting us, for recruiting us, for putting us in your army. We are called to service. We are called to serve the living God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of all the armies of heaven and earth. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name and Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. Holy Spirit, we so depend on you to lead us and to guide us to all truth. Holy Spirit, we could never make it without you. Holy Spirit, we can never understand the Bible without you. We could never receive illumination, enlightenment from the scriptures without you. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher through and through. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to instruct us in the way of life. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. And you shall serve the Lord your God. That portion in purple is what we covered yesterday. Now, before you came to Christ, you served a spiritual Pharaoh, the children of Israel, to whom Moses writes this book to. They served a natural, a literal Pharaoh, and he made their life bitter bondage, and he made them to serve him with rigor. He broke their backs. He worked their fingers to the bone. And when you were in a state of sin, when you were without Christ in this world, Satan too was working your fingers to the bone when it came to sin. And sin makes a man, a woman miserable. Now, you may be enjoying sin for a season, but when you look back, sin has robbed you of your youth, of your health, of your relationships, because sin destroys. Sin will cause you to wither away. But thank be to God that he sent our Moses, Jesus, to deliver us from the bondage of our Pharaoh, Satan. And now we are in the service of the Lord. Moses here writes, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. We're being called, we're being challenged to render joyful service to the God of our eternal salvation. How do we know that he's the God of our eternal salvation? Because we're called to serve the Lord your God. The Lord means the finisher, the completer, the omega, the end. You are to serve the Lord who takes you over the finish line. And when you go over the finish line, you'll find yourself in heaven. But where did this all start? Where did this race that you are engaged in, where did it begin? Well, he's the Lord your God. He's the God of your beginning. He's your cause. He's the one who initiated you in the kingdom of light. He is your Alpha. So the one you're serving is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so we are to serve the Lord our God. Serve him. Serve him with all you have. Serve him with all your heart. Serve him with all your mind. Serve him with all your being. Serve him with your entire life. Everything you own, everything you possess, your time, your talent, your wealth. Use it in your service to the Lord. Serve him joyfully. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with praise in your mouth. Serve him with hands lifted up. Serve him. Serve him with all of your being. And when you serve him, you'll find that he shall bless thy bread and bless thy water. This is where God adds. What does it mean when we read this portion in green, and he shall bless thy bread and shall bless thy water? What does that mean? Well, let's go to page two. Page two. When God blesses us, And this is only referring to God. When God blesses us, only God can do this. Now, of course, your mother will bless you when you're on your way to school. My mother would say to me, God bless you, my son. May the Lord be with you. Of course, that was all dependent on whether God would do it or not. But she would say it, but her words had no power. She could desire a blessing for me. She can wish a blessing for me. She may want a blessing from me, but the blessings come from God. If he doesn't dispatch them, if he doesn't grant them, if he doesn't send them, her blessing me was just a wish. So here Moses says, if you serve the Lord, if you do what he would have you to do, he will indeed bless you. The word bless is a verb in Hebrew, and it's the Hebrew word barak. It actually means God will add. God will multiply. Now, remember, we are the church militant, and we already talked about how in these passages that we're reading here in Exodus, in Exodus 23, starting at verse 20 and following, these are the laws relating to the children of Israel as they represent God's militant church in the Old Testament marching towards conquest. Now, an army of any kind needs food. An army marches on its belly. You've heard that said before. An army marches on its belly. So the Lord promises that when we serve him, when he recruits us, when he enlists us, when he puts us in the army of the Lord, that he will supply our bread and our water, and he will supply it every day. He will add to the supply. He will multiply the supply. And this is what the U.S. government does for every soldier. You know, if you are serving in the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force, Navy, if you're abroad, if you're serving in some theater of war, in some campaign, you don't go with your own money to a local store and buy your own food. No, the government provides you with your daily rations. So here the Lord says, I will multiply your bread. I will multiply your water. What a great word in this time of inflation. What a great promise for those of us who are engaged in serving the Lord. Well, should I take a second job? No, I would recommend that you serve the Lord. Don't take that second job. Use that second job time. Go serve the Lord and watch him multiply your food supply at home and watch him multiply what your family drinks. He says, I shall bless thy bread and I shall bless thy water. How important is water? How important is clean water? How important is non-contaminated water? How important is living water, fresh water, filtered water? God says he will provide to his militant church all the bread she needs and all the water she desires. God will do it. Now, that word barak, if you take the Hebrew letters and transliterate them into English, it's spelled B-A-R-A-K. Now, sometimes barak in the Hebrew language can be a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. Remember Barak, the general who served under Deborah the prophetess? Barak, it's a noun. There, the word barak means lightning bolt or a stroke of lightning or a lightning flash, lightning. You know, when lightning hits a tree or lightning hits the ground, a lightning bolt. So that's what barak there means, barak. But when barak is a verb, when barak is an action word, it means that it's coming from God. And when God speaks to things, they happen. They show up. Things go into motion. God said in the beginning, let there be light, And Moses wrote, and there was light. And God said, let there be fish in the sea of all kinds. And fish showed up. They came into existence. You see, that's the word barak. God speaks, he blesses, and what happens? He looked at Adam and Eve and he says, be fruitful and multiply. And how many people have proceeded from that initial blessing in Genesis chapter 2? How many people have lived on this planet? How many individuals have proceeded from Adam and Eve after God said to them, be fruitful and multiply? Well, it's been nonstop. And that's what one single barak of God can do. So this is why, as a minister of the gospel, preacher of the good news, as a minister of Christ, I never chase money. You know who I chase? I chase God. I serve the Lord. And whatever I need, if I need bread, if I need food in the house, he'll what? He'll bless the little that I have. And it'll multiply. If we need drinks in the house, all I do is I engage in service. I just serve the Lord. I don't even think about what we need. I don't even write a list. Now, in the back of my mind, I know we need these things, but I just engross myself in the service of God. And when I look up, there it is, what I needed, he sent it. He blessed. He'll bless my bread, and he'll bless our water. That's what God does. If you serve him, he will add the supplies that you need. And that's the title of the series. Serve God and he will add. He will add what you need. Jesus put it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be what? Added unto you. Just seek God. Serve God. Give yourself to the service of the Lord, and you will see ever your family needs, he will provide. Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job. Keep your job. But what I'm telling you to do is don't get a second job. Don't get a second job. Because you're going to try to add, humanly speaking, and who's going to get half of your money? The moment you get paid at your second job, who's going to take half of what you earned on paper? Uncle Sam. I think that the Lord pays better than Uncle Sam. I know that he pays better than Uncle Sam because I have 40 years of experience in God paying better than Uncle Sam. So now notice, let me take you to a few scriptures here. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Let's go to the book of Job. The book of Job. And this is what it says. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. In other words, he was lacking nothing. He possessed every fruit of the Spirit. He had all the fruit of the Spirit manifested in his life. He was perfect, lacking none of them. And he was upright. And he feared God. He served God. He reverenced God. And he did what? He eschewed evil. He shunned evil. Unto this man were born 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels. And 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now notice, in verse 1, it tells us he served God. That's verse 1. That's verse 1 says, he served God. In verse 2 and 3, it tells us what God added to him. God added to him many sons and daughters. and a great substance. 7,000 sheep, listen, that's great substance. 500 yoke of oxen, that's nothing to sneeze at. 500 she-donkeys, 3,000 camels, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's wealth. Now, where did Job get this? Did he get this because of his hard work, his ingenuity? Yes, he did. But also, he was blessed of God. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse number 10. This is Satan speaking. Satan says to God, "You have put a hedge of protection around Job and around his house and around him on every side. I can't get to him. I want to get to him. I would like to hurt him. I would like to punish Job. I would like to attack him. I would like to persecute him, but I can't. You have a hedge of protection. And in addition, you have blessed. You have baraked. You have added and multiplied to the works of his hands and his substance." In other words, his sheep, his camels, his oxen, and his she-donkeys, they are increased in the land. You see, if you serve God, oh, he will bless you. He will add to you. Now, turn to chapter 42. Let's go to Job 42. After Satan was allowed to strip Job of all his wealth, look what Job 42 says in verse 12. "So the Lord, so the finisher, the closer, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For now, instead of having 7,000 sheep, he has 14,000 sheep. And instead of having 1,000 yoke of, instead of having 3,000 camels, he has 6,000 camels. And instead of having 500 yoke of oxen, he's got 1,000 yoke of oxen. And instead of having 500 she asses, he's got 1,000. Notice, God has multiplied, has given Job double, has blessed him. You see, you have to put your life in the hands of God. If you serve the Lord, think about it. In the United States Army, there were people serving in Camp Lejeune. Not too long ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, they were serving in Camp Lejeune. And what did the U.S. government give to those poor people? Contaminated water. Water that produced cancers of all kinds. Well, look what the Lord promises to do for you. If you serve the Lord, if you're in his army, if you serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you are one of his ambassadors, if your life is given over to reconciling sinful men to God, this is what he'll do for you. He will multiply your bread and he will multiply your water. Not give you contaminated. He won't give you, you know, unlimited quantities of contaminated water. No. He will bless your water. It'll be the best water you ever drank. The best. This is what our God can do. The God who called all things into existence and then said to those things, "Be fruitful and multiply." God wants to bless his people. But like Job, we must serve the Lord. If you serve the Lord, he will bless you. Look at Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 1. Now that we're in Job 42, let's just flip the page and let's just go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, it says, Psalm 1, verse 1. Look how the book opens up. Blessed is that man. Again, there it is. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, verse 2 says, if you serve God, if you give yourself to the book, if you do your worship and your service unto God according to the Bible, if you meditate on his Torah, the law, the teachings, that's what the word law there means. Don't think that the word law there is trying to bring you back under legalism. No. The word law there in Hebrew is Torah. Torah equals teachings. But his delight is in the teachings of the Lord. And in those teachings does he meditate day and night. It goes on to say, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There it is again. You're planted by the rivers of water. And bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. God will add to you if you serve him. This is why I'm never broke. People say, but you live by faith. I said, yes, I live by faith, but I'm attached to God. God owns it all. I never worry. I never go to sleep worrying. I never get up worrying. You know what I do? Okay, what's on the sheet for me to do today? What are my assignments for today, Wednesday? What do I have to do in my service to God and in my service to my fellow brothers and sisters and in my service to my fellow man? I just engross myself. I just lose myself in the work of the Lord. I never worry about what I need. He sends it. He blesses it. He adds and he multiplies. You see, no soldier in the U.S. Army worries about, are we going to be fed today? Are we going to be fed next month? No, they take it for granted. Why? Because the U.S. government delivers the rations when they need to be delivered. Everybody gets 3 square meals a day and snacks. Everyone gets well fed in the U.S. Army or in the armed forces, in the armed service. You get fed. You get clothed. You have barracks. You have it all. The soldier never worries about his armor. Where's he going to get his equipment? Where's he going to get his rifle? Where's he going to get his bullets? All of that is supplied. And when he uses it, the government gives him more. The higher-ups send more. There's a military budget. God has a budget for his militant church, and it is unlimited. Unlimited. I never worry. The one thing I worry about is, okay, I need to get these things done today for the Lord. That's my concern. These are the things I need to get done. Let me get started. So I engage myself in his service. I will serve the Lord. And while I'm serving him, he will what? Bless. He will bless me. He will barak me. He will give the command, and things that I need will appear. That's the God that we serve. I don't worry about inflation. I'm not denying that inflation is not out there. Oh, it's very real. But I don't worry about inflation. I serve the Lord. In fact, let's go to the Holy Spirit just brought to my remembrance. Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis. If memory serves me correct, Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. And this is what it says in Genesis 26, starting at verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So the writer of Genesis does not want you to think that this famine that's being spoken of here is the same famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. No, it's a different generation. There was a famine in Abraham's day, and now there's a famine in Isaac, his son's day. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him. In other words, there was a famine in Canaan, and Isaac decided to outpace the famine to go to Egypt. So his first stop is to go south to the land of the Philistines. And it says, and so Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. So he was north, he went south, because Egypt is further south. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down into Egypt. Dwell in the land here that I'm telling. Stay here. Serve me here. This is where you need to serve me. But Lord, there's a famine. Lord, there's inflation. Lord, there's no jobs. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. Lord, I don't know. He says, stay put. I am God everywhere. So look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land. What land? The land where there was a famine. That's crazy. You don't sow in this time of famine. But God told him to stay there, so he sowed. And he sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord added to him. The Lord multiplied. And it goes on to say in verse 13, and the man Isaac waxed great, and he went forward, not backwards, and continued to grow like Job, who started out with 7,000 sheep but wound up with 14,000. And it says, and he grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants. And the ungodly Philistines envied him. Serve the Lord. My brothers and sisters, just serve the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. Serve the Lord. Lose yourself in God. Occupy yourself. As Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things necessary shall be added, multiplied, given unto you. Now, you'll have some prosperity preachers out there, which are, of course, wolves in sheep's clothing. And they'll tell the poor saints, listen, you want God to bless you, sow a seed. And they'll say idiotic things like, my ministry is good ground, sow into my ministry. Now, they don't want you to give them an envelope of pumpkin seeds, or they don't want you to give them an envelope of zucchini seeds. No, what they mean by seed is money, cash, greenbacks. That's what seed is for them. So they'll say to you, this is the year of famine. This is the year of inflation. And the same way Isaac sowed that year, you sow into my ministry. It's a con game. It's a scam. They'll say, you sow into my ministry, and God will give you 100-fold. Don't do it. Again, they are trying to scam you. Moses said, you serve the Lord. He didn't say to sow. He didn't say to sow into anybody's ministry. You serve the Lord, and he shall what? He will add to you. He will bless you. One final scripture. Go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Here, King Saul receives a prophetic rebuke. In 1 Samuel 15, and I close with these words of the prophet Samuel, and Samuel said to Saul, hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Do you think you're going to impress God with your big offerings, with your big seed sowing? Do you think God is impressed by that? No. Have the Lord great delight in burnt offerings, as the prosperity preacher would have you to believe, as the wolf in sheep's clothing would have you to believe, as the scam artist of the church would have you to believe. No. Look what it says. Obeying the voice of the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants you to obey his voice, to serve him the way he would have you to serve him in the Bible. Behold, to obey God, to reverence God, to fear God is better than sacrifice. And to hearken to the voice of God better than the fat of rams. You want to prosper. You want God to add to you. You want God to multiply. Serve the Lord. Serve him. Now, that may include you giving your offerings and your gifts, financial gifts, to your local church. But don't let anybody scam you and tell you that that's the way that God wants to bless you. No, 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 no. You serve the Lord. And serve the Lord means to live in holiness, to be light in darkness, to be salt in the earth, to be Christ-like, to reflect the image of Christ in you, to truly be a son and a daughter of God, children of obedience, children of disobedience, as the Bible calls the followers of Satan. Satan's followers are called children of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. We are not of the night, but of the day. We are not of the darkness, but of the light. We obey the Lord. We do not disobey the Lord. So, Samuel said, to obey God and to live as he would have us to live is far greater than any offering you can give. You're not going to impress God with your offerings. You're not going to bribe God with your offerings. You're not going to say to God, well, I'm going to live in sin, but here's my big offering, so you'll look the other way. God won't have it. That is false teaching. But that's what's being taught today. Because the only thing those wolves care about is living rich, living an opulent life on the backs of people they can scam. Don't let them scam you. That'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow to see what it is that the Lord desires and will take away when we serve him. God bless you, saints.
God understands your sorrow. He sees the falling tear and whispers, I am with thee. Then falter not nor fear. He understands. He knows the tale.